Morning, everyone. Everyone's prepared for dissection today. Now, if I were good, Rebbe, if I were a good Magachir, I would have brought an animal in today, and we would have done a total.
You have a lab in
that house. We have a lab. Yeah, we do have a laboratory, but we need a lamp.
We need a lamp.
Yeah. A very creative biology teacher here in the high school went to Publix and purchased kidneys. Kidneys.
Wow.
Right. Meaning they sell them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard
yeah. So, what? Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it also. Right. To the question of why not, I cannot come up with a number of answers, but that was very, it's very creative. And it was cheap also, by the way. It's unbelievable how stereotypical I am. I looked right at the price. It's the first thing I looked at. It was nothing. Correct. correct. Okay. What were they doing to the kidneys, doctors? They cut them both horizontally and vertically.
You got anything you want?
I understand, but I'm saying in the package it was cut already. They would like crisscross cuts. I don't know. Okay, fourth parak of Tamid. And this is it—the real heart of the—and I mean that so literally—the real heart of the Masechta, in which now we're going to talk about the heart today. The heart's going to be one of our topics of discussion. We are going to be discussing the shechting of the Karban Tamid. Everything we've been up until now, first three prakim of Masechta's Tamid was all the preparation. First parak was the Trumas Hadesh, and the second parak now, the preparation of the Mizbeach. I'm sorry about my voice. I'm not hearing it. Oh, God. The second parak is the preparation of the Mizbeach for the Karban Tamid, the ash pile, the campfires, the bonfires, the marachos that are on top of the Mizbeach. The third parak now, we designate who's going to bring up the parts of the Mizbeach. We designated 9 separate Kohanim to bring the various parts of the Mizbeach. So everyone's in their places, and now that everyone's in their places, so now it's action. So we're going to shech the Karban Tamid. So the parak over here, the fourth parak, which we will do half of today, half of tomorrow, is going to be dedicated to the actual shechting of the Karban Tamid. Now it's an Ola. So we know what's going to happen. It's all going to go up onto the Mizbeach. The only thing that's going to do is it's going to get segmented into large parts, large pieces, and then limb by limb it's going to be brought up onto the Mizbeach. There's a particular order in which the animal will be dissected, and dissection is really, it's not a great term because we're really not, it's not small cuts. It's all very large cuts of the animal. The Mishnah prescribes a particular order. I don't know where the order comes from, meaning the Torah doesn't give any particular order in terms of how it should be cut. It could be just a question of functionality, meaning if I were a butcher, I'd understand this Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara a lot better. I'm not a butcher by trade, so I'm gonna just struggle to get through how we're cutting up the animal. A couple points of interest that are coming up over the course of the Mishnayos, and as already previously demonstrated, I'm incorrect in that there's Gemara coming up. We're going to do a little bit of Gemara today, and tomorrow is Gemara, and tomorrow's a Gadata. Tomorrow, get excited. We have a Gadata coming up for tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, however, we start. And the Mishnah starts off, La'ikoftin esatle ela ma'akten oso. So we do not tie up the tle, but rather we're ma'ake. Now, everyone here already recognizes that word from Akedah, Akedas Yitzchak. And in fact, the Gemara is going to point out, it's going to be demonstratively clear from the Gemara, and the Rosh says it over here also as well, that the Akedah that we're doing over here means that we want to remind ourselves, we want to go back to Akedas Yitzchak. So every carbon that we shecht is really rooted in Akedas Yitzchak, so we don't tie it up, but rather we're ma'akeid. But what exactly does that mean? Meaning, I get the basic idea, but we don't tie it up. But what does the ikud mean as opposed to koftin? So if you take a look at the Rush writes the following. The Rush is back. Right, the Rush went away for the third parak. Don't know where he went. But the Rush is back, and it's the top of the Rush. It's the top of the paragraph. Lo yukoftin satla. So here's what we don't do, says the Rush. We don't tie up all four legs together, And we don't tie up the two front legs and the two back legs. That's what we don't do, right? Anyone ever see a rodeo? Right? And when they track down the animals, so they tie all the legs together. Okay. Ela ma'akin or so, but what we do rather is akeda. And so the Rush writes, what does that mean? Yad v'regel ka'akeda si'etzchak. So we do a front leg and a back leg. And I guess we do the right side by itself and the left side by itself. Okay? And that's what's called like akeda si'etzchak. So that must mean, okay, and it's not, I don't think this is clear from the Pesukim, meaning when you go back to Akedas Yitzchak, that Yitzchak was bound up, right, with his right hand together with his right leg, and his left hand together with his left leg, meaning I'm not sure where the Rush gets this from the story of Yitzchak himself, but that's his understanding of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that we're not koftin, we don't tie it up, but rather Akedam. Okay, so I'm not sure how that's demonstrated by Yitzchak. The Rambam gives perhaps an easier pshat, a simpler pshat, which is, well, the way he understands it, is that we don't tie the animal up at all, right? Meaning, Yitzchak was bound up, right? Again, we keep going back to the Sakeda. So, it doesn't, according to the Rambam, doesn't mean that he was tied up. It means that he was held together, and then I guess Avram Avinu held him. I'm not really sure how this works from a visionary standpoint, from a visual standpoint, but he held him without tying him up, and then he was prepared to shecht Yitzchak without tying him up. And so similarly, when you shecht a carbon, so you don't tie up the carbon, you don't tie up the legs of the carbon, you just simply hold the legs together. Okay, that's the way the Rambam understands it, so there's like a real difference between ikud versus kfita, kofet. As opposed to the Rush. The Rush is just simply a methodology of which legs can be tied together, which legs cannot be tied together. Okay. Misha zachu be'evar mochzim bo. V'kach haya kereso. Now, whoever was zochan the evarim gets to hold it. And v'kach haya kereso. Now, this is what we're going to do in terms of shechting the animal. Rosho l'darim. So the head's going to face south. So in other words, where are we standing right now? This is a carpinola. So we're standing north of the Mizbeach. We already discussed how the Mizbeach itself is situated at the midline, at that midpoint between the north and the south. I mean, that's subject to a machlokus, but we've already talked about yesterday how our Mishnayos and Tamid have the Mizbeach right in the middle, and so therefore any carbonola has to be shecht on the north side of the Azara, which in this particular case means the north side of the Mizbeach. Fine. So the Mishnah says that the animal would be standing in the north, facing south, meaning the direction of the animal would be a north-south direction, where the rear of the animal would be facing the north, and the head of the animal would be facing south, towards the Mizbeach, ufan of Lamarav. And then what the Kohen would do is the following. He would turn the head of the animal, of the sheep, in the direction of the west. And he guesses why? Face the Heichal, right? Face the actual Beis HaMikdash. The Ashochet Omeid B'Mizrach. Now, the one who's shechting is standing on the east side of the animal, meaning, now if you have a good visual over here, behind the animal, right? Really, next to the animal, but in other words, once the head is turned to the west, he's standing behind the head of the animal. Ufan of Lamarav, and he too, meaning the Shochet himself, is also facing west. So, we have everyone facing the Heichal. Okay, Lifnei Hashem, as we discussed yesterday. Now, if you have a good diagram of the Azara, so you're going to see that on the north side of the Mizbeach, you have rings that are fixed into the ground. Right? These are what's called Tabaos. Okay, there were a total of 24 rings in the ground. You can see them. I don't know, it's pretty hard to see them over there, but there are four in a row. And six across. So four times six, that means a total of 24. So everyone here remembers that there are 24 mishmaros. There are 24 watches. The Kohanim are divided to 24 different families. And each one would be working in the Beis HaMikdash over the course of 1 week. And a rotation of 1 week for each one. So over the course of a year, so they would get 2 weeks in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. It would be a 1 week rotation, and then right based on that cycle, so it would be two weeks out of the year, approximately. A little bit more. So anyway, so that's the mishmaros, and those are the rings there. And each mishmar had a ring, his own particular ring. If you remember, where is the sukkah? Yeah. So one of the families was censored. Right?
They didn't want to share the secret.
Correct, correct. One of the families were censored, so they locked his ring. Okay, so that was a way of demonstrating that they were not particularly happy with one of the families. Okay. So anyway, so there are 24. Even though there are 24, and even though each mishmer had its own particular ring, but the Karban Tamid was consistently shechted at the same ring. Which ring would that be? So the Mishnah goes on to say, so in the morning, we would go all the way to the north, all the way to the west. Northwest, we would go to the northwest ring. So in other words, again, if you're looking up at the picture, so you see rings 4x6. So that means that if you go to the northwest, you're all the way, where are we holding right now?
Bottom, lower, right, bottom, lower, right, bottom, lower, all the way to the bottom,
and from the way we're looking at it, all the way to the right. Okay, but not exactly though, says the Mishnah. Shel Tzfonis Maravis al Taba'as Shnia. And we will go to the second ring. Now, is it the second ring from the top or the second ring from the west? So I'm not particularly sure.
Oh, they were not using your own Mishma's ring.
Yeah, in other words, for the Tamid, they would use one ring consistently.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Second row. So he has it as the second row. Second. So right. From the Rush, I'll just read the Rush to you. So,
you've got a second row from
the Al Tabashnia. Va'atabas, the Rush writes, it's four lines down in the Rush. Va'atabas v'aysa agula kamonezem, ela kechati agula, v'tochev ba'aret. So first of all, it wasn't a total circle, it was a semicircle. Meaning if you have a good picture, you'll see it's actually basically a semicircle fixed into the ground. V'ein ha'behema yichol lazu savera. And obviously once an animal's neck is in there, that'll be an excellent way to hold down the animal. Well, you lock the animal's neck right in there. Shisha Sidar Mal Tabos, Ayuva Chol Seder V'Seder Dal Tabos, Keneged Chal Tal Mishmaros. And the Rush says, what I presented is that there were a total of 24, 6x4. L'chol Mishmar Taba'as Miyuchad. Every Mishmar had their own ring. V'Nishchat Al Tabos Shnia, L'fi Hashem Mizbech, Haya Ma'afil Al Tabos Rishona. Yeah, it is clear from the Rush. The Mizbech is going to cast a shadow. Okay, in other words, not to get too celestial right now, but the sun obviously, when it makes its course over the sky, so the sun is not going directly overhead, but it's going rather in a somewhat southern, it also depends on the season of the year. That's correct.
Northern,
that's correct. In the summertime, the sun is even further
northwest,
further to the south, and then in the wintertime, the sun is a little bit closer to the north. But either way, though, in other words, there's always going to be a shadow cast by the Mizbeach over the rings. So from the Rush, it sounds like, in other words, not the row of rings that are right next to the Mizbeach, but we're going to go up one row above that in order so that the sun would shine directly on the animal.
Well, so he's doing it the opposite. He's saying one ring away from the Mizbeach.
From the south.
One row away from the Mizbeach. And
right.
We're saying one row away from the wall.
That's interesting. You're right. And I'm also confused now.
Maybe the north and the south is a machlok. It could be completely mirroring.
I'm also a little bit confused right now. Okay, I'll have to come back. Now that's a different point. Okay, I'm a little bit confused.
I wish you could ask it wrong.
So the Yenishchah Karen Tzfonis Maravis Al Tabashnia V'Shal Bein Abayim Yenishchah Al Karen Mizrach Tzfonis Al Tabashnia.
This is the suggestion of the morning Tamid.
Yeah, that's where I put it also, but the Mishnah says on the northern one.
Right.
That's more north than.
It's right. It's further north than the one below it.
One. It's not the first one. It's to the north of that. The second one.
Right. Right. Okay, I guess that's how you're going to have to understand the Mishnah.
Because they're also worried about the shadow of the wall from this wall.
Right, correct, because, right, there's a wall over there.
So the northwest means northwest of the first row.
That's what you're going to have to understand
like
it.
Like near Mar Rabbah is the one that's west of...
Correct, even though it's a good analogy.
So now, second row first,
it's
second ring.
Right. Now, the basic point, okay, and I know we're all confused, I am myself, but the larger point, however, the Mishnah is very simple. It's in the direction of the sun, meaning it's towards the day. Sun rises in the east, sun sets in the west. Okay? So, in the morning, where are we going to shecht it? So, in the morning, we want to shecht it now on the west, because you want it to basically see the sun. In the evening, you want to shecht it in the east, because you also want it to see the sun, meaning as the sun is going down. Think of it like this. Anyone daven by the kotel? Mm-hmm. Right? So in the morning, do you see the sun?
No.
No. You're right. And anyone daven there early in the morning, so you're not going to see the sun. Right. Correct. Because you're up against the western wall. You're right up against the wall. So in the morning, the sun's rising now on the other side of the wall. And so obviously you're not... Huh?
Netzminian,
this
starts, and you see it as soon as
Netzminian.
No, you don't
see the sun. No, yeah. You can't. You see light, but you don't see the sun.
There's no sun.
No.
You don't see the sun until like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right, right. In other words, the sun has to go over the wall.
You see in the reflection of the building.
So in other words, if you wanted sunlight, you want to try to move as far away from the wall as possible. So fine. So it's the same basic idea over here. In other words, so in the morning, you want to be as further west as possible in order to be able to... quote unquote, hit the sun, and in the afternoon you're going to move it all the way to the east in order to get that setting sun. Why do we want that? What's so important about that? So the Gemara later on will ask that very question, and we're going to discuss that later on when we start with the Gemara. Yes. It's a good question because there are different, there are various different types of animals, large animals versus small animals. It's a very good question.
That wasn't one of the
names. I don't know. I know.
So what is Alos HaShachar?
Alos HaShachar is dawn, meaning the animal could be shechted. No. By dawn, you can't see the sun. The dawn is 72 minutes before sunrise, approximately.
What sun is Richa?
The rising of the sun is Richa Sachama, or what we call Neitz Sachama.
When would they do this carbon? They have to wait for the sun to come up?
Yeah, they wouldn't do it so early in the morning, meaning all the prep work was done early in the morning, but the actual shechting was done around sunrise. It could have been done beforehand, but they typically wait until the sun.
They have so many things to do. The sun
has to be shining on the korban.
It's a preferred position. It doesn't have to be.
The sun doesn't have to be shining on the korban.
It's a preferred method. It's what is lechatchila. But certainly, the evidence would work even if there is no sun. Okay, we'll talk about it more. No, for the Tamid, it was consistently the same. And then, presumably, in other words, and the Mishmar was working their week, so anyone who brings the carbon during that week is going to give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen is going to work it, and presumably they're going to work on their ring, on their appointed ring. But for the Tamid, because of this requirement of we want it in a particular place in the Azara, so therefore we're going to consistently use the same ring. Okay, Balo Kerem Mizrachet Tzvonis, V'nosein Mizrachet Tzvonis. Now, we shechted the animal, that means that we collected the blood. So now we're going to do sprinkling of the blood. So again, we go back now to our regular rules. Carbonola. Carbonola sprinkled where on the Mizbech? Before we discuss where, how many times on the Mizbech? Shtayim Shehein Dalet. Two, which is four. Shtayim Shehein Dalet. Two, which is four. So that means that we're going to hit the two opposite corners of the Mizbech. And by hitting the two opposite corners of the Mizbech, we're going to be hitting all four walls. So the first thing you go to the northeast, Mizrach Tzfonis, right? That's where we all started from. So you go to the northeast, Mizrach Tzfonis, Ma'arav is Dramis. And then you go to the southwest, and by doing that, you're going to hit all four walls. Menosne Ma'arav HaDramis HaYarei Adam. And now, you're in the southwest, and you just sprinkled that second sprinkling. And so now, if there's any blood left over, so you're going to pour the remaining part of the blood onto the Yisrael Mizbeach, onto the foundation of the Mizbeach, and obviously it's going to run down the canal outside the Azara.
Where was the Yisod? It was on the
south. The Yisod covered two sides of the Mizbech. The Yisod covered
north
side and the west side. Mm-hmm. So when you were in the southwest, so you got the tail end of the Yisod.
So, okay. So the
first sprinkling was done in the northeast.
Wait. First sprinkling was done here. Right there.
Other side.
Other side.
Yeah, I understand. Right, okay. It's confusing you because it's upside down. And then they would go around, and they would go to the south. And they go in the southwest.
Then they can just do their shvicha right where they
sit. Right there.
The second one?
That, correct. Exactly correct.
To the base?
Yeah. Now, do you...
Go down the kibbutz, no?
Huh?
They have to go down the kibbutz to be put it on the down. I mean, there was no...
The Yesod is the foundation of the Mizbeach.
So it would, at the Yesod, it wouldn't, they were at the top.
No, they were not at the top. They were never at the top. Meaning, Shechting was done in front of the Mizbeach. And then they would sprinkle, so they would shecht it right. Sorry, they would shecht it right over here.
Okay.
And then after shechting, then they would sprinkle over here. First
but
sprinkling,
but from the top they would.
No. From the ground.
No, from the ground.
They did it on the ground because they did have to be below the chutah sikra.
Right. Remember, this is an animal. So animals, the olas are done below the chutah sikra. Right, birds are done above, and then they would go to the opposite corner over here, and they would sprinkle over here. Okay, and then they would pour if there's any blood left over in the cup. So then they would pour down the yisod. Now for the sprinkling. The chatas, they would have to go up because the chatas they would have to cover the kronos. They would have to get the all four horns. Okay, makaba bala mizrach tzvonis v'nosi mizrach tzvon marajros v'nosi marav v'jomis shayare hadam. Hayashofech el yisod, dromis. Okay, good. So now we have shechted the animal, we have collected the blood, we have sprinkled the blood. Okay, that's it. Now that's not it, obviously. In other words, we have another page of Mishnayos to do. But in terms of the kapara that's provided, now this is a carbonola, so kapara is not the right word. But in terms of the efficacy of the carbon now is, right, the prime function of a carbon, which is the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbech, now has been performed. But it is a carbonola, which means now that we're going to take it and we're going to burn it on the top of the Mizbeach.
They said when the shechit on the animal was facing north-south.
The plane of the animal was the north-south.
And the head was turned to the west.
Turned the head to the west.
The question is that when you do shechit, are you worried about hagrama?
Yeah, it's fine. I was thinking about that. Hagrama or chalada, meaning because by turning the neck now, you're creating folds in the neck. I was curious about the same.
Also, like, oh, it's like I'm in the same plane.
I was wondering the same thing myself.
Just the head is facing that
way. We're turning the head a 90 degree turn.
Maybe the ring forces it to be a certain place.
Yeah, I'm unclear about that myself. No, I was curious. It's a 90 degree turn. The animal's plane is north south.
What if the legs and everything goes to the side? You know, on the left side.
Okay. I mean.
Because the head is still this way.
Okay. Fine. I had the same curiosity. Now, flaying of the animal. So they wouldn't break the leg. Now, the flaying of the animals, the procedure that was normally done. Is that they hung the animal upside down. And then what you did is you just simply pulled, you had to make an incision around the hide, and you pulled down on the hide in order to take it off. Now typically, remember, the animal is good and dead, so the butchers didn't really care much in terms of sensitivity, so what they would do is they would snap the back of the leg of the animal in order to hang it on the hook. So the Mishnah says is that that's not the way it's done by the Karban Tamid. By the Karban Tamid, we're not interested in snapping. Now, it's not like a Karban Pesach. By Karban Pesach, right, there's an Isser of Etzem Lo Sishberubo. You're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. That's not really at play over here. That is an Isser, but that's an Isser only for the Karban Pesach. Over here, however, it is Karchim. That leg is going to be offered up onto the Mizbeach. And so, out of Kavod, just had a simple honor for the Karban, so we do not want to snap the back leg. So what we're going to do, says the Mishnah, is we're going to pierce a hole in the back leg and hang it so that we can flay it, but without having to snap the back leg, but just by simply piercing a hole into the leg.
They would untie the legs up and the arm, no? Before they hung it?
They were
tied.
You're right. According to the Rambam, it was never even tied to begin with. So right.
Correct.
According to the Rosh, yes. Yeah, I assume so. Lo yeshuv bo'os regel nokva mitoch arkav to v'tolabo. So they would drill a hole or bang a hole right through the lower portion of the leg, and they would hang it. Now hayamavshu v'yored hashemigil lachazeh. So now the skin would be pulled off. Now they wouldn't pull off the entire skin in its entirety. But they would pull the skin all the way down out to the chest. And higil achazen, now once they pull the skin down to the chest, chatach as a rosh. So they cut off the head of the animal. Now, the animal has obviously not been decapitated. Meaning, remember, as we all know, shechita only means that you're going to be cutting the trachea and the esophagus. But it's just going to be an incision on the neck. The neck is still firmly attached to the animal. So in the flaying process, now when the hide is mostly down, now they're going to pause and they're going to chop off the head, fully decapitate the head. The head is obviously going to be one of the pieces that are going to go up onto the mizbech. And they basically say to the Kohen, right, 9 Kohanim are standing around because each one of them has a different part of the animal that's going to be going up onto the mizbech. So the person who's going to go up to the head, as you can well imagine, kishmo kachu, the head goes up first. It is the Rosh. Right? Chatech is the Rosh, v'nas l'misha zachabah. Chatech is the Karayim, v'nas l'misha zachabahem. Now, we're going to do a dissection of the animal, and cut off the limbs, and as we're going to now describe in as best anatomy as I can, basically cut it piece to piece, and hand it to the people who are going to go up. So now we have chatech as a karayim. We cut off the karayim, the front legs of the animal, and v'nasla misha zachamahem, and we give it to the person, to the kohen, who is going to take that up. Marak es ha-hefshet. Now you finish the hefshet. Now you finish the flaying of the animal. Right? So you kind of understand now, why did they take a break in the hefshet? Because they wanted to be able to cut off the heads and cut off the limbs, and the limbs obviously were not flayed. The limbs were left hide on, and so therefore, so we took a break. Right. Now that we cut off the head, now we cut off the limbs, now you can finish flaying the animal. Marek is a hefshet.
How did it stay hanging?
Huh? No.
It's hanging by its hind legs.
No, there's a hole in the leg.
It's hung by its hind legs.
So they cut the legs.
Front legs. They cut off the front legs.
Just the front?
I thought they cut all four limbs.
Eventually they will. But right now, we're describing the process. So in the process, we are now just...
It's just the feet. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
From the knee up,
they just cut off the feet. I'm sorry.
You need to cut off the feet before you skin.
The feet are going to go up with the intestines. We're going to talk about that later.
What did they do with the skin, by the way?
Skin were given to the Kohanim. Every ola, the skins go to the Kohanim, and that... No. Skins were... The Kohanim were entitled to the skins. Okay. I'm sorry. I misspoke. So, now, chatech es harosh v'nasal l'misha zachabo, chatech es harosh v'nasal l'misha zachabo, and marak es ha-hefshet. So they finished the hefshet. Kara es ha-lev. Okay, now here we get to a strange part of the Mishnah. And you'll see what I mean when I say it's strange. Now, we're up to the heart. Okay, so we're going to take the heart out, and we're going to tear the heart open. Now, the heart has got some blood in it, and basically we're going to drain the blood of, sorry, we're going to drain the heart of whatever blood it has in it, says the Mishnah, the hotzias damo, and we take the blood out of the heart. Okay, now that's strange. Meaning, let's think about this for just a moment. Let's contemplate. The entire animal is going to go up onto the mizbech and it's going to be burnt on the mizbech. Okay. Now there are parts of the animal, which is really only the hide, and the excrement of the animal, which is not going to go up. And we're going to clean the animal of the excrement. Even internal excrement will be cleaned out. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But basically, outside of that, though, everything else is going up onto the mizbech. So why are we draining the heart of its blood? Now, you'll tell me, well, you know, the blood is aser. I guess yes, but we don't salt the animal before it goes up onto the mizbech. Now, yes, it's true, there is a salting of the carbon, like there's a salting of all carbonos, but that's not for blood extraction. That's just simply because there's a mitzvah to salt everything before it goes up onto the mizbech. So the question really is, why are we draining the heart of its blood? So I turn to the Rush, and the Rush... writes the following. The Rush is Kara Alev. It's the second wide line. Kara Alev Umotzi Yez Damo. Lefi Kishe Hishet Same Goneches Bishas Ashchita Umamsheches Es Adami Beis Ashchita Vuhu Adam HaKarush HaNimtza Belev Vahavale Kidam Shenishbach Velon Iskaba Bekli Upasol Mizbeach. So the Rush gives a rather interesting biologically, I'm not, you know, I can't speak to that part of the Rush, but halachically, however, it's ingenious what he says. He says that what happens is that when the animal is shechted, so obviously there's going to be a spurt of blood that comes out, but there's also going to be a thrust of blood that's going to go directly into the heart. And he writes, "And mamsheches es adam ibeis hashchita v'u hadama karish hanimtza b'lev." That is congealed blood that is in the heart. V'hava lekidam shenishpach. You know what that's like, says the Rush? It's like blood that spilled onto the ground. Now, we know that the only blood that's going to go up onto the Mizbeach is blood that's collected into a bowl. What if blood does not collect in the bowl, but the blood is spilled on the ground? That blood now becomes disqualified and puzzle. So the Rush writes that the blood now that's collected in the heart is like, that's blood that really was at the base of Shechita at the time of Shechita, for reasons which I cannot explain. I'm not anatomically aware enough to explain this. But he says that some of the blood comes out, some of the blood makes a detour right into the heart. And then it congeals into the heart. But because it was at the base of Shechita at the time of Shechita, so therefore, halachically, it's like blood that spilled on the ground, and therefore that blood is not entitled to go up onto the Mizbeach. Okay, that is the explanation of the Rush. It's, you know, it's necessary in the sense that you do have to understand, because as we're going to see the rest of this Mishnah, we don't bother taking the blood out of any other part of the animal. So the Mishnah really begs an explanation and demands an explanation. We go on in the Mishnah. Okay, now we cut off the front legs. Thank you. And we hand that to the person who's zocheh, to the front legs. One kohen is going to be holding the two front legs, or the right in his right hand and the left in his left hand. And the Mishnah is going to say that in a moment. Allah l'regel hayamanis. Now we're up to the right leg. So we cut off the right leg, and ubeis beitzim ima. And he also gets the two beitzim that come along together with the right leg. Now we make an opening of the cavity, of the internal cavity, the chest of the animal. And now you have the cavity of the animal exposed. Now you take out the fat, the chalev. Chalev is also referred to as pader. And that is taken out, and that's smeared on the beis hashchita. Right? Smearing is a very scientific term. The beis hashchita obviously is the area of the head which was cut, you know, for the shechita. So now basically you're going to have an entirely exposed area. So almost like it's a literal cover-up job. Meaning you take the fat of the animal and you basically gloss it right over, you smear it right over the beis hashchita, and makes the head look a little bit more presentable.
So at this time when the body cavity is open, if you see the lungs and there's a trepha, now would it stop everything?
Yeah, if the animal's a trepha, then we'd go find a new animal. Now you take out the intestines and you give the intestines to the person who's going to carry it up. I'm happy to report that the person who carries up the intestines gets to take a bowl with him and carry it up in a bowl. He does not need to carry the intestines up in his hands. Now, but before the intestines are carried up, they first need to be rinsed out. Internal rinsing of the intestines, right? Again, the animal is going to get burnt and all the organs are going to get burnt as well, but it's going to be cleaned out. The hakeres madichin also beveis hamadichin, and also the keres as well. Right, the ruminating animal. It's got four stomachs. The keres is the first stomach, the largest stomach, and that also is going to get rinsed out as well. Umadichin also kol sarcha. The akabai madichin also shalosh pamim. Now, as far as the stomach is concerned, the Mishnah says as much as it's as needed. Doesn't give a number. In terms of the intestines, they're concerned three times, says the Mishnah. Tables. We're going to describe that in just a moment. So b'miutan, I'm sorry, shalosh pamim b'miutan, at least three times. Al shulchan shol shayish shebein ha'amudim. Now these are done on the marble tables that are between the amudim, between the pillars. Now if you look again to the north of the mizbeach, you're going to find eight tables over there, which the Mishnah over here is describing, and it's on these tables that everything is going to get rinsed out. Sorry. Now, you take the knife and you cut the lung from the liver. The etzba Hakaved min hakaved, and the etzba hakaved. Now, anatomically, I don't know what that is. Some sort of appendage that's attached to the liver.
There are two lobes of the liver. One closer goes with the lungs. It's a smaller lobe.
It's a smaller lobe. Okay. So, right, I'm glad I have my support system over here. Hakaved min hakaved velo haya mezizim im kama, but don't move it from its place, meaning keep it put. Beis HaMadichin, here.
35.
Right to the north of the...
Those are tables.
Right.
It's in the picture of the Rambam.
It's not a chamber.
No, it's not a chamber. It's not a chamber. It's outside. Everything's done outside.
Why it says bait? Bait is not chamber?
No. It's a fair question. I don't know why it says bait. Okay. No kef is a chazev, no salamisha zachabal. Okay. Now, the chest is going to the person who's zacha with the chest. So shezachaba ala ladofin hayamanis. Now we're going to basically cut out the two flanken, the two sides of the animal. Hayachotech v'yared ad shidra v'lo yonoge b'shidra. Now we would be doing a. Okay, you'll forgive me if I do not speak anatomically correctly, but it's a vertical cut running along the spine, but not to cut the spine itself. Meaning, obviously. The ribs themselves are obviously going to be cut, but not the spine itself. Ashimagila bain baselos until you get to the two last ribs. I'm sorry, baselos dakos until you get to the two narrow ribs. Now we have in our Mishnah dakos. I'm having the Mishnah of the word rakot. They're narrow. They're soft. Okay. Chaz chavnas lamisha zachabal v'hakavet tluyabal. The right side of the animal is handed to a Kohen who gets the right side of the animal, and he also gets the kavod as well. He gets the liver. Balo legera. Now we're up to the gera, the neck of the animal. Now the gera, the neck of the animal, comes together with it, the two ribs that are closest to the head. Okay, what do we say? How do we say that? Ribs. Closer to the head is?
Cephalot.
Huh? Cephalot. Now, connected with this upper portion of the animal is going to be the heart, the lungs, and the con and the windpipe. Now we're going to cut off the left side of the animal. Now we're cutting off the left side of the animal, leaving the two ribs on the bottom and the two ribs on the top. So then the Mishnah takes a little bit of a subtotal. So you realize now that when we cut off the sides of the animal, we're basically going to be leaving the two bottom ribs as part of the neck and the two top ribs. I say top over here because the animal's hanging upside down. And the two top ribs with the tail of the animal. Now, the person who's getting the left side is also getting the spinal cord as well, the spinal column. You have the spleen being attached to this as well. Now, obviously in size, the left side is going to be larger than the right side because the right side does not have the spinal column included with it. And the left side, when cut off, does have the spinal column included with it. However, says the Mishnah, but we call the right side, in nomenclature, we call the right side the gedola. Not because it was a larger piece, it was a smaller piece, but it did have the kaved, and it did have the liver attached to it, and so therefore we call it the greater piece. The word kaved means liver. The word kaved in Hebrew also means heavy, because obviously the liver was saturated with blood. Balala okis, now we're at the tail of the animal. So now we have successfully cut up the animal almost all the way to the end. We're now at the end, literally the end of the animal. So v'naslami shazachaba ha'alya v'ha'etzba kaved. So here it's the tail together with the other lobe of the liver, ubeis klayos, and the two kidneys, imo. Natos aregos malis, chat kavanas lami shazachabon. We're cutting off now the left leg and giving the left leg to the kohen who gets the left leg. Nimsu kulam omdim bishura v'arevirim biyadam. And now the Mishnah is going to give us a great picture of the lineup. Okay? And if there are nine kohanim, so it's the word lineup is almost used here precisely. And no designated hitters. Okay, this is not the it's not going to be the American League. Harisha.